Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Allison in Wonderland Mental Health Podcast. We have a special returning guest today, Allison Boddy, and I'm going to let her introduce herself again. This is part two of that episode where Allison talked to us about being an abuse survivor and a lot of the struggles that she went through and how she's gotten to where she is in her life now. And today we're going to kind of talk about part two of these positive affirmations for survivors. And so I'm going to let Allison introduce herself again in case y'all did not listen to what I said and go back and listen to Sunday's episode.
Well, it's great to be here again, everybody. So, as Allison mentioned, I'm also Allison. We joke around, this is like the Allison show for our episode. We love it. And I am a therapeutic ART life coach and a certified health coach as well. And my journey has led me to this life purpose and helping other women overcome some of their trauma and some of the barriers that are holding them back so that way they can be more confident. They can increase their self-worth and, ultimately build the life that they deserve. And so I'm on a mission to help as many women as I can through that process.
And then it's really great. I know that when we talked before, we talked about the expectation that abuse is normal in some ways, or the way people don't even see abuse when it's happening. And they feel like you kind of feel like you're the crazy one where everyone else sees this person as being just like the best in the world. And then you're like, no, but you don't see what they're like outside of that. I really do encourage everyone to go listen to that. But what we didn't get to, because we talked so much and it was such a wonderful conversation, was the positive affirmations when you're going through this, being a survivor and really just trying to get to a healthy headspace for yourself when you're finally out of that.
And kind of like what it definitely go back and listen to Sunday, so this will make a little bit more sense as we kind of talked about, and I would almost say that we kind of beat around the bush on is when we're going through those experiences where people don't believe us, we end up kind of falling into this pattern where we start to believe what others tell us. So we kind of almost believe like, oh, maybe we are the cause, or maybe I do deserve all of this, abuse, or the negativity. Maybe I am the problem equation here and I need to fix myself somehow. And so when you get out of that situation finally, it's important to learn how to reframe your beliefs, because when we get out of that, we are stuck believing the worst in ourselves. We have very limited confidence, if any at all, and we kind of end up in a pattern, a cycle where we end up in more bad situations because that's what we are used to when it is hard for us to imagine that we deserve anything better. And so in order to break that pattern and in order to live that life that we all deserve, it has to go down to the fundamentals. And the fundamentals are our self-beliefs and then using those positive affirmations to really drive home those beliefs that you're working on. And so that's something I'm really excited to kind of dive in a little bit more. I've done a lot of research into our brains and our patterns, and our brains love patterns and it works off of patterns. And so we essentially have to rewire those brain patterns. So we believe one way. And so in order to believe another way, we have to practice over and over and over, kind of like any other habit, to really solidify and drive home that new belief.
It's wonderful. I can't wait to hear about how all of those patterns work together. And I think it's important to note that, you see people that kind of go from abusive relationship to abusive relationship, and it's because this piece is missing from the middle. They finally realize that the relationship they're in is abusive, but they don't build up the self-confidence and realize that they are worth more. And then they end up in another relationship. And I'm not blaming those people. But you also see it with people where their mother was abused and then they were in an abusive relationship because there was never that healthy training of the self-worth built up. And absolutely not victim blaming, because honestly, I've been there as well. And so I'm very interested to hear about this, how the patterns and everything builds into this.
And so this was actually probably the hardest part for me when I was going through my trauma, or after the trauma. And I feel like there's always those lingering effects. And I want to reiterate, what we're talking about does not replace therapy, but it's meant to be used in addition to your therapy. And especially after, you know, severely traumatic experiences, that therapy is very important. And I would also say that some of us who maybe had, you know, childhood issues or even losing jobs. So maybe like that trauma isn't like what you would think would be trauma because of, you know, unfortunately what a lot of us go through, but I want to also, you know, reiterate that, like, don't belittle what you've been through. Even being laid off is a small form of trauma, and it makes you also believe negatively in yourself. And so these principles and like what we're going to be talking about can be used in any situation to help you really like change that self-script that we have and increase that confidence and that self-worth. But to dive into it a little bit. So as I mentioned, I have done a lot of research about this, and I've always been fascinated with the brain. And I, you know, I've always thought I should have gone in to be like a neuroscientist or something, just because it's so fascinating. Our brain is actually the strongest muscle that we have, and the neural pathways that we have and the things that we are able to do is astounding. And there's still so much about the brain that they don't know. But when it comes to our day-to-day, we actually don't use the full power of our brains, because again, like I mentioned, our brain loves patterns. It's always going to go into what our current routine is, what our current habits are. That is essentially, I don't want to say the lazy way of the brain performing, but the brain loves patterns, and that's what it's going to do. And so we really only use about 10% of our brains. So when we're talking about overcoming our traumas and like working to change some of those beliefs, we have to tap into the other potential of our brain. It's going to take more work. It's going to feel uncomfortable because you're exercising parts of your brain that you haven't used in a long time. And the way that we do that is, for example, let's say I want my new belief just to be that I am worthy. That's it. Like, I just want to, I know that I am worthy. Like, that's what I want to believe. So what we need to do then are those positive affirmations I had mentioned. And that is something that our brains are, again, loves the patterns, is part of the visualization. And so they've found that just visualizing, even like a sports, for example, a lot of the research is with sports, but just by visualizing your sport event, whatever it could be, you increase your performance by about 30 to 35%. Just by visualizing. So when it comes to our beliefs, just by using those affirmations, saying over and over, having sticky notes everywhere, or having a mantra that you use that you are constantly saying, I am worthy, that automatically is going to increase that belief by 30 to 35%. The other half of that belief is going to be works. So you have to treat yourself as if you are worthy, you know, working to protect yourself, working to surround yourself with people who believe likewise. And as you practice that and surround yourself with that, that belief will become solidified. And just like with any other habit, habits take about 21 days to really start to form and be solidified. So this is something that you have to do daily for at least a month in order for that belief to really take hold.
Yeah, and that's amazing. I love that you did touch on the fact that trauma can come in all kinds of different ways, and abuse can come in all types of different, you know, shapes and forms. And I think that, you know, there has been a shift in me, I think, since, you know, the kind of the middle of 2022, which is what led me to the podcast and to life coaching, where I finally was like, screw the imposter syndrome. I'm a rock star. I'm freaking adorable. I'm a delight to have around. I crush it at what I do. And I just was like, there, I'm just going to be me. And I'm 40 years old, and I finally started being 100% Allison. And it is amazing the difference, like even just like with the podcast, I know people are probably like, well, you've got like one subscriber, but I've got a lot of people that want to talk to me, and I have a lot of people that seem excited about it. And I would have never expected that. I'm not a in front of the camera kind of person. I'm a behind the camera kind of person. So, but I went into it going, I'm passionate about mental health. There's at least one person that will listen to me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, and I don't know what it was. I think I really, I was in an abusive work relationship. And when I finally was just like, I'm better than these people, not necessarily better than them as humans, but better than the drama that they were putting into my life. And I pulled myself out of it. I was finally just like, okay, I'm going to deal with the people that are worthy of the effort and what I can bring to the table. But mm-hmm. But that's not a easy journey. Like in life, in love, with family, with work, it's scary. Mm-hmm. And so like, what's the very basic, like, okay, so let's say I quit a toxic job or a toxic relationship yesterday. I also believe therapy. I know a lot of people are like, well, I'm going to do therapy for as long as I need to. I'm going to do therapy the rest of my life because I love therapy. I don't like, honestly, it's just me. Like, there's no goal to be done. It's just like, it's an ongoing relationship. I guess until my therapist retires, and she's my age. So we got a while. But I do think it's, you know, really important to say that life coaching has, you know, a place, and, you know, there's definitely a place for coaches in, you know, tandem with therapy. And there is a place for coaches when people aren't in therapy. But if you're leaving an abusive relationship or you're experiencing a trauma, there is a time to pull in a mental health professional. So this is, I like that you mentioned, because I'm always like, I'm not a doctor. I just play one on YouTube. But let's say I did. So let's say I'm signed up with my therapist. I'm out of this relationship, but I need to do daily work on myself. Where would you say you start with that if I've been torn down and I just don't feel, maybe I've got that imposter syndrome. Maybe I feel like it was my fault and I don't deserve to be loved, or I don't deserve any better.
Yeah. And so I would say the beginning of anyone's journey, being a part of that, is probably one of my favorites. Just because you really are building the foundation. You may not go far as like what you want to accomplish, but there's so much deep work that needs to be done, and you're really building that foundation. So that way everything else comes so much easier. And the very first thing that I love to work through, and you know, you mentioned with life coaching, like, you know, in order to make drastic change, you need help. And don't feel like you could do it on your own. And that's what life coaches are for, is we're meant to partner with you on your journey to just give you that, you know, that support as you're going through it. And so one of the support things that we go through is first visualizing where you want to go. What is it that you're trying to achieve? Like, if we were to map it all out, be like, okay, so what ultimately do you want to do? Who do you want to be? What do you want to accomplish? Paint that picture. And we actually go through what I call the keyhole exercise, where we're going to put some of that actually onto paper. I'm going to have you draw it. It could be stick figures. It doesn't have to be pretty. It's just about that visualizing, because it makes it almost more real. Like when you can see it, when you have something tangible that you're working towards. And I've had it to where some just want to be confident. Like, you know, they have a good job and they don't want to change their job. They just want to be more confident. They want to be confident for, you know, more promotions. They want to, you know, feel like they are worthy and set themselves up for better relationships. And then there's been some where, you know, they're trying to make drastic changes in their life, you know, trying to build up a business. They want to be successful. Like, they want to, you know, bring in all of this money as well. And so maybe their dream life is like having their own business and painting, for example. Let's say they're an artist. And it's like, okay, well, that's the goal. That's the dream that we're working towards. And so we use that keyhole exercise to help them. One, the door. So the keyhole exercise essentially is like, you have the keyhole, where inside the keyhole is your dream? What are you working towards? Like once you've achieved, you know, your confidence and your self-worth, like what does that life look like? Or where are you in that life? And we put that inside the keyhole. And then the door itself is the barrier. So like what's holding you back from that? And the biggest part of that entire painting or drawing is the keyhole, because I want you to be more focused on where you're going than the barriers, because I'm there to help you through that barrier. We're working towards that end game. And so once you have that visual of where you're going, then it's about diving into, okay, let's do step one. You know, what is holding you back? Like, what do you believe in yourself? And so the next exercise we go through is like really writing out, like, what are your current beliefs? Like, what do you truly believe? And you don't have to show me, like, I understand a lot of that is personal, but I want you to be 100% honest with yourself of those beliefs. And then we do the tabletop exercise where we kind of address some of those, the negative ones of that are really holding you back. Like maybe, you know, you feel that you are the social enigma of like your friends, like you or your family rather. And like that, you know, you just never fit in anywhere. Maybe that belief is that for me, for example, and this one's going to be real personal and honest with you guys. So again, just going to be vulnerable with everybody. But one of the beliefs that I had that I had a hard time overcoming and accepting myself and my body was that sexually I wasn't enough. And so all of these beliefs could be very different. And so then diving into, okay, so what are the legs supporting that belief currently? And then the new belief is the tabletop. And what legs can you find to support that new belief that you want to work towards? And then we put that tabletop and they'll create as many tables as they need for whatever beliefs that they're working on. And the positive ones that they're working on, I have them put on their bathroom mirror. Because we're all in the bathroom. We're brushing our teeth, we're getting ready. Like we're in there all the time. You put it on your mirror, like whether you use a dry erase marker to put it on there, or you just put the paper up there, like whichever works best for you, put it somewhere you're going to see it constantly. And don't just look at it. Like when you see it, I want you to read it to yourself. Like if you live with a roommate or you know you live with family or somebody else, I understand not saying it out loud, but make sure you're at least reading it to yourself internally. And then the fun part is as we go through it, and as they start to feel some of the beliefs, new beliefs, we actually tear up the old ones. So I have them keep the old ones, not to like look at, but it gives them something to really tear up and almost have it be a physical manifestation of them destroying that belief.
Yeah, I like that. I'm destroying it. It's gone. I have conquered it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so it makes it, we're diving into a lot of different principles with our brains. So our brains are visual. And they love that repetition. And so we're diving into both of those aspects. Like we're bringing that visual aspect of it. And we're also going to do that repetitiveness, which is those positive affirmations. And you know, as we work through those beliefs, then it's what's your self-talk like? Like, what are you telling yourself on a day-to-day basis? And then working to change some of those, I can't, I won't, or you know those negative ones to I will, I am statements. And then that's when we create our affirmation art, which I love the affirmation art. It's a I am piece where you're creating your strength words. Like, what are you? What are you going to be? And you put that in there as a positive affirmation piece that you keep to remind yourself of your strengths.
That's great. I know there's... a coach that, which actually she's an actual licensed therapist, and I cannot remember exactly. She was one of the first guests I have, and when she introduces herself, it's I am a love force, and it's like a whole paragraph, and it's those words, and it's not like, hi, I'm Allison, I'm the host of a podcast, I do this. She has like this thing, and it's like she's got it nailed, and I'm just like, I want to have a session with her just to work out what my intro like that is, where it's not like I grew up in Alabama, now I'm in Kentucky and I got a bunch of cats, but it's like I'm a love force, and it's just so strong when she says it. And I'm always like, I'm a strong, confident person, but I still like, how do I get to her level? Like it's amazing. And it sounds like it's those I am statements, because it's not my biography or my resume. It's who am I?
Yes, 100% it is. And it does take work to get there, but just like you said, like as you say them, that like you start to reflect that. Like we are what we say, and our brain is going to follow that. So like whatever we tell ourselves will be. So if you say you can't do something, unfortunately, then you're right. If you say you can't do something, then yes, you are right. So you are right in whatever you say. So we need to change what we are saying. And yeah, those I am statements is definitely going to be the, not, I wouldn't say just the foundation, but that's going to what's going to be to carry you on. And you're going to grow and build on them as you go as well.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So we talked about like the beginning of it, but I imagine that these affirmations are not something, it's like how I'll never be done with therapy just because I love therapy. It's not like something you stop. So, you've been doing this for a couple of years or a few years now, and you've done like all of the work on yourself. And I mean, I say all the work, but we're always doing more work. What does it look like when you are just reinforcing them when you're at this healthy place, but you're still, what are you doing now?
I would say I'm constantly reimagining myself, because my paths, I wouldn't say has completely changed, but a little bit. So when I first got out, I just wanted to be, a good health coach. Wasn't trying to go out there and shake the world too much. I just wanted to kind of coast under the radar for a while. But then, as I was working on myself and those same affirmations no longer really felt true, because I felt like I wasn't being as fulfilled as I wanted. And that's something like we have to stay very mindful of ourselves and where we're at, like, and don't settle. And that's unfortunately where a lot of issues happen, is when we start to settle. And so I always say that, even after, I'm coaching somebody, and as they continue to push yourself, like use these principles to grow. Like that's what we're meant to do. We're meant for so much more than, just the minimal work in life. And so now I would say that my affirmations have drastically changed, as far as, where I was trying to just be confident and find my self-worth and love my body again, even to now where I am setting myself up as almost like that expert. Like I am amazing. I know how to go through these things, and wanting to be that advocate for other women, and wanting to set myself up not to put like other women down or other coaches down, but I have a very unique experience, and I have a very unique skill set, and I want to master that and to bring that into, other women's lives. And so now it's my I am statements, my affirmations I'm constantly working on is, I am a great coach. I am going to change the world. I am going to help all of the women that I can. And I'm slowly putting those into action. And that's the other side of, any affirmation. You can't just say it, you have to act on it too. But yeah, that's something that we'll just have to constantly be mindful on. And I'm sure that even yours, like, have
Yeah, I
been
mean,
different within just last year.
I'm 40 years old and I finally figured out what I want to be when I grow up. So it definitely, and I feel like we both had different journeys that got us to where we're at, but our I am statements are very similar, where it's like it took me some time to be like, I am an authority on mental health. I am, I do have a voice that people need to hear, but I can help people, by talking about these things. I can support other people that are going through, trauma, anxiety, they need that emotional support human. So It definitely is weird. It's a weird mind shift because it feels almost like you're being braggy, and that's not it. It's that you know, I think sometimes we tend to not, praise ourselves because it seems like we're being cocky, but then we're not ever giving ourselves the credit that we should, where it's like, I am a rock star and I am a strong mental health advocate and I have a voice, and somebody, it may not be everybody, but somebody needs to hear it. And there will be somebody that hears it, and all of this will be have been worth it.
And just like you mentioned, it's like it's not about being cocky, it's about the skills and like our life duty essentially of to be a help to others. And we've lived through it. And so it's kind of like that of it's not cocky, it's like we've been through it, we've practiced these skills, we've seen firsthand what does and does not work. And I don't mean to put down anyone else. I've been with therapists who did not live the life that I did, who did not have, the experiences that that I have had, which I'm glad they never experienced that. But it also made it harder for them to really put themselves in my shoes, whereas I've been there, I've done that, I've been through so many different types of trauma that I can really truly say I know exactly how you feel because I was there.
Yeah, and I think that that's the thing too. I don't think I realized how screwed up my childhood was until I made two different therapists cry, and I was like, if I'm traumatizing you by just talking about like a normal day in the life of me when I was 12, then like this is not a great space. And I think that it's wonderful that people are, we need mental health professionals, we need therapists, we need life coaches. And I don't want them to all have the same lived experience that I had. I hope no one ever has my lived experience. But it is hard to connect with them. I think with the coach relationship, it's a much more intimate relationship, because it's more than just a 40-minute every other week kind of thing. And I think the lived experience is really valuable when it comes to that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And like you said, it's a little bit more of an intimate relationship. Like we're there with you in the day to day. Like, I'm available to my clients if they have a something come up and they just quickly need to chat for 10, 15 minutes or vent about something. Like that's, a role of the life coach. And it's meant to be, again, in partnership with a therapist. So that way you have somebody in the day-to-day, the nitty-gritty there with you. And then that professional person to give you the skills needed to manage and overcome some of the events that you've been through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, sometimes you just want to send a text message and just be like, or maybe sometimes you need a daily text message where it's just like, hey, somebody was thinking about you today. And you're not going to get that most likely from your therapist. And the people that don't have a support system outside of, therapy, that 2 weeks in between, or I'm just saying 2 weeks, whatever amount of time in between, it could be a lot can happen. I've had times where I was just going once a month to see my therapist for like mental maintenance, is what I would call it. And all kinds of stuff would happen in the middle, but then I'd be perfectly fine the day I'd show up and have nothing to talk about. Like, I don't know, everything's good now, but I really could have needed, like, used you like 6 days ago.
But just to help all of the listeners, like as I mentioned, I have a bunch of different exercises that I use, and I am going to give you and your listeners one of my exercises for free, just to help them start to build some of that foundation work and work towards learning what those affirmations are for them. As we're mentioning, it's going to change and grow over time, but and I feel like there's some like stigma around like affirmations too. Like, oh, that's like frilly, frou-frou. Like, I don't resonate with that. And it's like, well, that's fine, but like they actually do work, and like understanding like how our brains process things is like, okay, well, maybe don't call them affirmations then. Maybe call them like your I don't know, daily ritual.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you think about it, they may think affirmations sound silly, but they'll do hashtag Monday motivation, and I'm sure there's some Tuesday version of that and some Wednesday version of that. So, like, you could just kind of roll it all into that. But I think that, you know, that's really great. And yeah, definitely let the listeners know how to find you on the interwebs and connect with you.
Yeah, so you can find me on my website. So my website is Allie's BAM Workshop. I spell my Allie different than this Allie. So
I'll put it in there. But yeah, go ahead, spell it.
Yeah, and so it's Allie's BAM, BAM Workshop.com. And so you can find all of my information there. You can reach out to me. I'm happy to email or contact with anybody. But again, like I mentioned, I'll give you the exercise as well. So that way you can have that and post it up with the episode. So as people are going through and kind of laughing at our our back and forth here, they can start to brainstorm some of their strength words and what some of those, you know, maybe affirmations may be for them.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So I know that, you know, we tend, both of us with the ADHD, was there anything we didn't cover that you wanted to talk about today?
I feel like I have so many other thoughts and emotions, but the biggest thing that I really wanted to get into is that foundation building with those positive affirmations and ultimately using that to change your beliefs. So I feel like we went into it, but you know, definitely if people have questions, like, reach out to me. I love to have, you know, that conversation around like building that understanding. This is something I'm very passionate about. I've done a lot of research about this. So I'd love to share, you know, my knowledge with, you know, anyone and everyone. We're able to get through it. And
awesome. Well, you're always welcome to come back. I mean, it fits. It could be Allison's in Wonderland, and just keep coming, having you come back for other episodes. So thank you so much for joining again. I absolutely love it. I think that, you know, people may have felt a little raw after Sunday's episode, and this is the lift up they need from it. So I'm really glad that you're able to come back and give this part two.
Me too, definitely. And you know, I just want to let everyone know that, you know, we all have a shared experience in the fact that we're all just trying to be better, regardless of where we're at. And just know that the Allisons are here for you. And we want to give you that support that you need. And so just really excited to be here, be part of your journey and your own podcast, and see how that grows as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming. I thoroughly enjoy it every time, and I am sure that there is another episode or two in us left.
Oh, for sure. With all of our rabbit holes, I'm sure we can figure out something.
Absolutely.